we're going to think about what it means for us to be the people of God together today. But before we do that, we're going to think a little bit more about what it meant for the people of God back then in Haggai. And that's on page 896 and 897. If you could turn that up in the church Bibles, that would be a help. We're working our way through this Old Testament book of Haggai. We're just over halfway through. And the big issue we're thinking about today is, what do we do when we know that we want to follow God, but we're also asking the question, what's the point? Which, if we're honest, I think every Christian goes through from time to time. You know, it's the spiritual equivalent of someone way high up there or whatever has had a semi-bright idea on the loo. You know, maybe we should invest in this. And you're the sector specialist, and you know straight away that this is a bad idea. But the boss has said, I want you to spend all those hours producing the reports that you know is going to come back saying, this is a bad idea. And the boss says, do it anyway. You think, what's the point? I don't know what it might be for you. I mean, God calls us to be good workers in our workplaces, but maybe, you know, we've been persevering with a difficult relationship with someone at work or at home or whatever, and we're just thinking, what's the point in trying to be godly here anymore? You know, what difference is it making? Or maybe you're there trying to maintain your integrity and your honesty, and everyone else is loose with the truth, and you're thinking, well, what difference does it make? What's the point? And that's where we're at, and that's where the people of God were at back then. So if you remember, the people of God, they'd been exiled to Babylon, they'd been brought back by God miraculously to Jerusalem. And the question was, are you going to take God seriously or not? That's the question to them. Is God actually going to be your first priority? And the answer apparently was not necessarily, because they started feathering their own nests with their nice cedar panelled en-suites. And actually, the temple of God was a ruin still. But this was the place where the God of the whole world was supposed to be honoured and worshipped and glorified. And so God sent them the prophet Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, as it happens. And the message of the whole book was, look, guys, take God seriously, rebuild the temple. You know, put me first and I will bless you. I want to bless you and I will. And by the end of chapter 1, they have started rebuilding. But about a year into the project, it seems they need some encouragement, because apparently they're asking a kind of what's the point type question. And so God sends them Haggai, and this is what he says, chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory, the previous temple that Solomon built? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Lord, you want us to rebuild this temple that had been destroyed, and we're doing it, but look at it. I mean, it's pathetic. And when we finished it, it's going to be pathetic. What is the point? You know, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, but there are so few Christians in the city, so it feels. What's the point? What difference will we make, maybe? There's the city prayer breakfast next Wednesday morning. Do I really want to drag myself in at 7:30 to do that? What difference is a few Christians gathering to pray for the city going to make? What's the point? And what happens in Haggai is we get this big contrast between what we can see, what things look like to us now, and what God sees. Because when God sees, God doesn't just see what we see now. He sees all that he can do and all that he will do. And he gives them this glorious picture of the future. So if we have a look at over the page to verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations. And what is desired by all the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house, the one that they're rebuilding, will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Keep going, he says to the people back then. Keep going, because what might look pathetic now is going to put the last one to shame. And the last one was amazing, by all accounts and purposes. Yeah. This is where Jesus is going to pray. This is where Jesus is going to be dedicated. This is where Jesus is going to teach. And it's in this Jerusalem, this rebuilt Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem, that Jesus is going to die on a cross to pay for our forgiveness. Jesus is going to rise again from the dead, defeating sin and death and hell. Keep going, he says, because the glory of this temple is going to put the last one to shame. And for us, in our keep going, well, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, has this picture of people from every tribe and tongue and nation and every status and age and whatever worshipping God in the New Jerusalem forever. Why not the people that you're sitting next to at your desk? Why not that member of your family that you've been praying for ages? So when we're kind of torn between what's the point, God gives us this picture of the future, but what do we do between what's the point and the future? What do we do now? It's the bit I haven't read out yet. Verses 4 and 5, the bit in the middle. But now, verse 4, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Be strong, do not fear, because God is in control. And God is always with us as we seek to do the work he's set for us. Be strong because God is always faithful to his promises. So it's interesting, isn't it? Haggai doesn't rock up with a brand new, I've got something just for you special people now, promise. What he actually does is he points them back and says, this new thing that's happening now is really part of this great big, bigger, older thing that God has been faithfully doing for centuries. You know, past generations spent quite a lot of standing on the promises. And, you know, knowing what God has said, saying, actually, whether I feel it or not, I'm going to trust that this is what the world is like, and I'm going to live in line with this and see that God is faithful to it. And when we kind of read the saints of old, but also when we kind of stand on the promises ourselves, it's an old promise is better in some ways, because an old promise is not some kind of second-rate IKEA flat packed with built-in redundancy just knocked out quickly for the moment type promise that we're standing on. An old promise is one which is rock. It's a rock which people have stood on for centuries and proved faithful. It's something that hasn't moved, and people through the centuries can point back to it and say, yes, I stood on this, it carried me, it can carry you. It's been there for me, it will be there for you. This isn't going anywhere. So when we stand on the promises of God, we stand on something that countless of saints before us have gone through. What is it that we're going through that maybe someone else has never been through before and that God hasn't been enough for? We have God's word. We have his promises that have never let anyone down. And so he says, look, be strong. Get on with the work that God has given you. And do not fear. Do not fear, because I am with you. I have covenanted, I've promised, and my spirit remains among you. In here, but out there, just as much.